Redefining America, Constitutional Leadership 2010. This is Mark Seltzer.
And this is Jessica Piccolo.
And what else could we talk about this week but the healthcare reform? Specifically, we thought we might get into a little bit of what's come up in terms of the heated rhetoric and aggressive acts of violence, some of the things that have surrounded the enactment of healthcare reform legislation in the last week.
You know, I think it's a really interesting parallel to draw with what we've seen recently with threats against members of Congress and actual acts of assault, people being spit on, to what the country went through in the early stages of desegregation. It's as if we are in another period of some social upheaval, and there are elements of the extreme right that is very uncomfortable with the actions and the direction that the rest of the country is moving in.
Yes, I think... You know, the parallel is interesting. It sort of implicates the intensity of the divide in the country right now, the philosophical split between those who seem to believe that the government and a kind of liberal vision of society is against their vision of individualism and is a step in the direction of oppression or oppresses them just by being there.
And we see this framed as an arguably legitimate constitutional argument against the healthcare reform in terms of it as an imposition on states' rights, as a violative of the 10th Amendment, which says that those acts or those powers that aren't directly given to Congress by the Constitution are explicitly reserved for the realm of states, which is exactly the argument that the southern states took in trying to resist the initial desegregation rulings.
That also comes up, I mean, not to go too far in a digression, but it also comes up in this idea of these constitutional challenges to the enactment of the healthcare legislation and this idea that, well, states' rights shouldn't let the federal government go this far. And it doesn't seem like there's much there, but it really is, you know, this healthcare legislation has become a crux of constitutional argument about the role of government. And, you know, who knew? I didn't realize that it was really going to bring this up. I'm not sure that the legislation really goes so far as to merit any of the claims. The claims seem fairly outrageous to me about a government takeover, but they have brought out in people such a visceral fear, bringing people to extreme rhetoric and to the edge of violence and to specific acts that are terrible.
It's unfortunate, but I think it really does tie into some of the racist roots in our country. We saw some of this on the campaign trail when then candidate Obama was debating then candidate McCain, and there were persistent rumors that still to this day won't die about whether or not our president is a citizen, whether or not he is a Muslim. We hear people like Representative Bachman even this week say that she believes, and she has said, that the president holds anti-American beliefs. And these little tidbits are very dangerous when combined with political rhetoric of things like a government takeover of healthcare, which is just beyond factually inaccurate considering we didn't get a single payer system and we have no public option in the bill. So there is really no government takeover. The closest that could be a parallel to that is this mandate, which is essentially a tax. And the Constitution's very clear that the federal government has the power to levy taxes.
I've kind of thought all along that the calling what's going on, what's been proposed in healthcare reform, a government takeover, and, you know, the extreme language saying it's going to change democracy as you know it, some of that stuff, I really thought that was all political pandering by Republicans and sort of a political ploy just to manipulate the debate to try to defeat healthcare reform. But since healthcare reform has been enacted by the democratic process, by a majority vote, and, you know, in fact, it took a supermajority in the Senate to lay the foundation for the legislation. So it seems to me that it is really counter-democratic to try to then, you know, manipulate the system to defeat the legislation. I mean, it's a little confusing how the dynamics of the, you know, the political argument are. I mean, we have gone through a very democratic process and healthcare legislation has been enacted. So the intimidation and the other things seemed, you know, to be more properly looked at as anti-democratic.
And dangerous at this point by the Republican leadership, who has refused to out and out condemn the actions, whether they think it's a bit of a radical few or not. The reality is the Republican base, as it stands in terms of power, consists of this far-right element. And the Republicans themselves have offered very little in counter policy. So if they're not going to offer counter policy, and if their plan is just to resist, then this encourages that kind of behavior.
I don't know if you saw the scenes of the representatives on the balcony of the House, I think it was, the Capitol building, with signs showing Pelosi, something, kill the bill. And, you know, so just some nasty imagery really stirring up the crowd, whether you say it's inciting violence or just symbols of their hostility to the Democratic action. So far, it seems like the Republican leadership is trying to use this marginal area of inciting anger to their political benefit. I mean, that's what they're trying to use. And the question is, does it work? Will they be able to use it in an advantageous way? Or doesn't it sully the democratic process and won't it come back to bite them? It's really hard to know. You know, will someone get hurt? Will there be an act of violence? It was not that long ago that someone flew a plane, a small plane.
The Texas IRS.
Into the IRS as an anti-democratic act.
Then Representative King from Iowa comes on one of the Fox shows and says, well, basically, I've been advocating for the abolishment of the IRS since I was elected, and until we abolish the IRS, we're going to expect these kinds of things to happen. It's as if to say, you know, the reason you got shot is because you happened to stand in front of the gun. I mean, it's absurd. So when I get kind of fired up about this idea that they really are stoking the flames of violence, there are some people doing some real damage, and hopefully nobody has to get hurt beyond what's already happened in Texas, for example. And my hope is that the democratic process is strong enough that in the midterm elections, the Republican leadership will not see this as a successful strategy, that the progressives and moderates come out in strong opposition to this really anti-government rhetoric that we've got going on right now.
You know, maybe people that personally, their temperament is to be a bit more radical, you know, than people who typically participate in the system. I don't think people who participate in the system are generally radical, even if they are on one end or the other in their beliefs. Their engagement in political process is a fundamentally, you know, traditional democratic principle. But people who instead want to riot in the streets, maybe unleash that mob energy and not know where it's going, just seems kind of reckless and again, anti-democratic process.
And if the Tea Party wants to be considered a legitimate force in politics, and quite honestly, they have strong libertarian roots, and libertarians have made a consistent ideological contribution to the political debate, they need to clean their house a little bit. I mean, there are specific reports of neo-Nazi groups recruiting at Tea Party rallies because there is this overarching sense of our country's being run over. So you've got the Tom Tancredos giving these really hyperbolic anti-immigrant speeches, with then white power groups all recruiting within the same group of folks who are generally feeling disaffected because they are, for whatever reason, out of the political fray. Maybe they feel economically disadvantaged right now or socially disadvantaged, but it is hitting on that nerve of feeling powerless and out of control, and not funneling that into, as you've said, a legitimate democratic process that is going to get the GOP in some serious trouble unless they can get their ducks in a line and, I think, honestly, come up with some real policy points that can distinguish what the inflammatory rhetoric that they're spreading and specific policy goals that they have for the direction of this country.
We have potentially immigration reform in the coming year. I think the president has called for it, and certainly people on both sides hold very strong views on immigration. How are we going to get through the immigration debate, given the heat of this argument, when Obama and Democrats, and I think some Republicans, want a path towards citizenship or a path to legality for many of the undocumented mm-hmm. workers in the United States.
Well, the Republican Party has no hope of being a party of any significant relevance if it allows this racist and xenophobic thread to drive its policy. You can have an honest and difficult conversation about immigration reform without it being racist. And there is such a racist element to what is going on right now that I think a reckoning has to come from within the GOP.
The libertarian spirit does not have to go off the deep end, as we've seen. I mean, and the libertarian spirit is in some of the Tea Party vision, and yet the Tea Party vision is attracting people with all sorts of ideas. I think I've seen a list of outrageous claims that some people on the margins of, you know, our political society believe, and those are not going to gain legitimacy. Instead, they're going to delegitimize either the Tea Party movement or the entire Republican movement if they embrace those ideas.
Well, ultimately, what I would like to see is some rational leader from the Republican Party come up and take the reins, and they have to exist. I mean, you mentioned a couple of the sort of far-right theories that are out there. 9/11 was a government job, this idea that FEMA is building concentration camps to put uncooperative patriots for the coming martial law. I mean, but Glenn Beck spent 3 episodes of his show examining that idea before on episode 4, he said, you know what, maybe that's not the case. And then later, Michelle Bachmann, who is unfortunately from my state, comes on and makes an off-the-cuff comment about re-education camps under the Obama administration. That's dangerous. And yeah. The fact that nobody is, that there is not a rational person willing to say, you know what, folks, grow up and knock it off, is a real problem.
I was in your state for the Franken recount, and, you know, I met liberals and conservatives and well-meaning people who stepped up to participate in the recount from both sides of the political spectrum. And one of the common questions that I got was Barack Obama a Muslim extremist in disguise trying to take over the United States? And I had to just answer people in, you know, the best reasoning I could that his background and history and the facts reported didn't support anything like that.
I think Minnesota is a great example for that because we are considered a progressive state, particularly in the Midwest. And yet this is persistent. Our governor, who will be running for the Republican nomination, is now going to be headlining an event in early April with Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin. And he is spewing the same garbage because the Republicans have to turn that right. And instead of it being the hard right on the wedge issues on abortion and gay marriage, we are apparently going hard right on racial issues. And that, to me, is unacceptable. I mean, the others are unacceptable to begin with, but that is very particularly troublesome.
Yeah. You know, you called for a Republican to step up and, you know, take the space, do the right thing. I'm going to talk of 2 Republicans now. One, Sarah Palin joining the McCain campaign is just very interesting. We can watch it and see whether she does him good or does him damage mm-hmm. and what that might mean for sorting out how people are looking at, you know, at these issues and whether they want it within the Republican polity, whether they're looking for a more extreme or a more moderate leader. Since he's being challenged by someone who's probably pushing a little bit more of an extreme position. And on the other side of the spectrum, I think it's David Frum mm-hmm. writing on his blog and really attacking the Republican Party and blaming the Republican Party for this, you know, defeat in healthcare, for the fact that Democrats were able to push healthcare through and got no support. And I really thought that he had some of the analysis just on. I don't know if you saw it, but he was saying yeah. that by refusing to work with Democrats, that Republicans essentially ceded the issue.
And then he gets kicked out of the tent. I mean, you know, he's been shunned by the conservative movement much the same way that a lot of the sort of rational conservatives within the last couple years have been. And it's a travesty because I think had the Republicans come to play, particularly on healthcare and on issues that we will see coming down the pipes, the legislation is better. Even if I don't agree with the positions, I don't expect the American public to hold my opinion on every detail of every piece of legislation, but that's the point of having a democratic process. And yes, absolutely, the Republicans ceded the issue. And I would just hope that the party gets through this because, quite honestly, as somebody who probably will never self-identify as a Republican, I feel like my party is so poorly served by not having a good counterpart on the other side of these issues.
What's interesting when I think about what Frum is saying, and then you're saying that he's, you know, ostracized in the Republican Party, is that when I think of Democratic unity, I think Obama represents a very sound position. And so, you know, so what I'm saying is let's coalesce around a sound position.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Republicans, it seems to me what they're trying to do is coalesce around an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can that be done or will it inevitably fray because you're not going to get reasoned people to go that far in an extreme position? You're not going to be able to hold a unity when you have outrageous, you know, comments, commentary and beliefs within your group. I don't know how that will work out.
Well, it's a good thing we've got the midterm elections coming up because that will hopefully shed a little bit of light and make me less pessimistic than I'm feeling today.
Well, we're going to have probably from here until that November election, we're going to have, you know, nonstop political discussion on these points.
Mm-hmm.